Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. Well, I know that you are excited about this topic. All of you speakers out there, motivational speakers, empowerment speakers, encouragement and inspirational speakers, hello, 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 and welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, we are finally here. We have finally crossed over into the threshold. One of the things that I have been wanting to do probably for, the past 20 years is to become a paid speaker, And for some of you who are new to the speaking game, you may not be getting paid yet. And so you definitely want to tune into this broadcast. Those of you who have been getting paid for a little while or have been speaking for a little while, you also want to tune into this broadcast because you may not be getting paid yet. So over the past 20 years, somewhere around since 1992, when I gave my very first, I would say somewhat of a formal speech. Now, I gave my first speech in 1990 as a college student. It took me going to college to become a speaker. Even though I grew up around the church and I was in the military back in 1980, I sat in on a lot of speeches because in the military there was a lot of events happening and there was a lot of speaking going forth. And, of course, as a military person, you had to show up for these big events where they would have the, you know, major officers speaking on any given topic or situation. Even at graduation from boot camp, we had a speaker, and during graduation we also had instructors, so that's a form of speaking. And it really wasn't hitting me yet that I would be a speaker one day. The only thing I really could relate to speaking was my relationship with talking as a child. I always got in trouble for talking too much from as early as I can remember. So somewhere probably around age 4 or 5, I remember getting into trouble for talking too much. That's all I ever heard, though, and nothing ever good. I never was told, okay, one day you would make a good speaker, or I never heard the words, well, since she talks so much, why don't we put her in a speaking class? Or since she loves to talk, why don't we give her something meaningful to say and put her in front of an audience? Never, ever, ever heard those words throughout my childhood, throughout my school age days, never once. Only letters sent home to my parents saying that Lalisa is yet in trouble again for talking too much. So I don't know what was wrong with the teachers at those schools. I really do pray for them, and I pray for teachers like them, teachers who do not know how to pick up on a child's gifts, even in the midst of what it would seem like is their problem. You know, I think that'll preach right there. You know, if I was preaching, boy, I could probably turn a good sermon out of that. That your gift is often right in the midst of your problem. And I know for those preachers who are listening, you're going to take that and run with it. And I wouldn't blame you, because it really is the truth of the matter, the truth of the situation, because it is exactly what happened to me. So I pray for teachers like that. You know, you are around these young people, and I know they're not your children, and maybe you feel that it's their parents' job. Well, they have you. And if the parent doesn't do it, then you're like the second line of defense. Just like our skin, you know, for our bodies, our skin is our first line of defense, okay, against, you know, something. And then after that, right up under our skin, there's, you know, another layer of some type of protection, maybe some type of film or something, some type of membrane that now serves as also protection for us. And so, teachers, you are the second line of defense to protect that child's gift. And so, anyway, back to my speaking and getting paid to speak. Well, that's how I got involved. So I've been involved really with speaking all of those years. And I guess I did a little bit with it as a child. I remember following in my sister's footsteps. She's 2 years older than me, but she hung with girls that were like about 5 years older than her. So there was a moment in my life when I was probably in the second grade. I was learning from her. So by the time I got to the fourth grade, I had met up with some girls at a new school that I had began to attend. I was fourth grade, so we were all fourth grade, and trying to be like my sister, who was a part of this club they had started. The little girls club, that kind of thing. You see, my mother was a brownie leader, so probably my sister picked up some leadership things from her. And so I just, you know, pretty much followed suit, and I picked this up from my sister. And I started this club with these other three girls. I remember one, her name was Kim. The other girl's name was Vanessa. And I believe we had a pet. I wish I could find those girls today. Now, this is going back to the fourth grade, but we actually moved from that community the very next year. So for a whole summer and part of the school year, we had this wonderful organization that I started, and they were part of it, and it was called the DV Lees. I'll never forget it. We had a song and everything. And what we did was, so I guess that would show the first sign of leadership, but of course, you know, the enemy quickly came in and snuffed that out. So it didn't last very long, but I do have the memories of that. And so what the plan was that we would meet at one of the girls' homes each time we would meet, and I think we would just meet maybe like once a month. Now, all this planning went into this little group, the DV Lees. And the other two or three girls, they lived in what was called the Cumminsville section. So they had they lived in homes. Well, we lived in their own house, so they had a private house. Whereas we lived in the projects section of that community, and that was called Millville. So I was a little embarrassed when it got time for them to come to my house because, hey, I'm living in the projects, you know. But when you're a kid, you don't notice it too much. And my mother was really a classy woman. And so, you know, she made everything seem like we were living in a house and we had our hot dogs. I remember when it was time for them to come to my house. And we had the hot dogs and potato chips and Kool-Aid and what have you. And we, you know, did some things out back in the backyard and, you know, just played some little games and sang our song. But so anyway, so fast forward to that was somewhere around 66, somewhere around 66, 67. So now fast forward to 1992. So here I am. So all the rest of that time, nothing to do with speaking or what have you. It was never even a thought. The only thing I can think of is that when I was young, for some reason, I always wanted to sing. And in my family, we used to put on a lot of talent shows. It was seven kids. My mother would leave us home, you know, when she would go places. And her and my dad would be out. They were in the church. So, you know, on weeknights and things like that, they may not take all seven kids to church. So we would be home. And whenever we were home, we would put on these talent shows. Well, I'd love to be in the talent show. That was my thing. Oh, you could not. I didn't care if I was sick, had a cold. I didn't care if I was beat up. It didn't matter. I was going to be in that talent show. The only problem was I couldn't sing a lick. Well, you know, back then you didn't have TV shows like The Idol and all these reality shows. You didn't have, you know, BET and, you know, 106 and Park. And you didn't have all these ways to see other things that you could do if you had a talent. I mean, if you couldn't act or tap dance or sing, you know, pretty much you were left with nothing. So I would still all, but I did love to sing. So I remember that. So that put me in front of the audience because, of course, whoever was up singing, then the rest of the siblings were the audience. And this is what we did every day in my house for fun. That's how we kept ourselves amused of doing that. And some of it came from my father because my father told us these stories about how he was in the military or something like that with Sammy Davis Jr. and how Sammy Davis taught him, you know, some step moves. And we believed it. I don't know we never knew if it was true or not. But my father also was like, had some little acting, tap dance abilities, and he taught us. So whenever he was home, he would play this with us. And when he wasn't home, you know, we would do it ourselves. So I guess he was trying to make a Jackson 5 bunch out of us, but it didn't quite work out, and he ended up, you know, my mom and him ended up getting divorced anyway, and he was more into the church. So we would go to church, but nobody in church, you know, ever said, you know, hear, read a scripture. Now, today, it's a lot different in the church. Oh, my gosh, we get little five-year-olds up singing, preaching, dancing. I've seen two-year-olds praise dance. You know, I've seen two-year-olds up at the mic. You can see it. Go on YouTube. You can catch them a little. If they won and they can talk, they get them on there. They can't even have talk, and they got them on there preaching. So today is a whole lot different than what it was 50 years ago or 45 years ago. And so, you know, so all of those things, now as I look back over it, I can see how it all ended up here, but I couldn't see it then. And so I'm just kind of painting a picture for you about the speaking. So what I would say for people who want to become a paid speaker so that you can make your speaking profitable, you know, really, first of all, have some passion for speaking. So for me, I'm really passionate about it because it's been with me all my life. Just because no one ever noticed it or recognized it or pointed me in that right direction, well, that's neither here nor there. The fact remains is that it's something that I've been around all my life. So, you know, I'm very passionate about it. And there was a time, I will admit that, it was a time for, oh gosh, a good 12 to 15 years where I got upset that leaders in my life, parents, other business people, whatever, church people, I really did get upset that they didn't notice this. because I do notice these things with children, and I'm quick to tell them. And it doesn't matter to me if they ever live it out. But, you know, because of the experience that I had, I don't want the blood on my hands. And, you know, I don't have any children, so it's not that I'm just going to tell my child about their greatness or about something I see in them that's a talent or a gift. I will tell any child. It doesn't matter who the child is. And maybe, you know, maybe that's why God, you know, kept me from having children. Or should I say, didn't allow me to have children, because we know God can make anybody have a child now. Listen, he can make Mary have a baby. God can make anybody get pregnant. Listen, she didn't even have sex yet. So don't say, well, you know, God, you know, he didn't do it. Yeah, he did, because God can do whatever God wants to do. If he wants you pregnant, guess what? You getting pregnant. Simple. If you want to get pregnant bad enough, he'll let you, you know, but he knew I never did. But sometimes I think, well, maybe, you know, the fact that I didn't have any of my own children, I don't just focus on, you know, I can focus on any kind of child, anywhere, no matter what her race, his or her race, creed, or color is. And I can tell them and pull out some of their gifts. So no one did that for me. So it took me a while. I have to admit, it did take me aback. I really was angry because I felt like, well, had somebody, I've been doing this all my life, I've been hearing about how much I was a talker. So then that means that someone could have had me up talking at age 3, 5, 7, 12, any age, because it wasn't like I was a shy kid who never said a word, who was always in the background, somewhere with her head stuck in a book. No, that was not my role. So someone could have, you know, done something. But, okay, so I finally got over that. Hello? You have to get over things in life, all right? It happened. Yes, acknowledge it. Even if you want to get upset with someone about it, get upset, but don't stay there. And try your best not to stay there long. And certainly don't stay there like I did 12 whole years. So here I am today, a paid public speaker, a paid motivational speaker, a paid professor. And how that happened is, number one, you have to be passionate about what you're talking about. That's number one. People pay for passion. If you want to be a profitable speaker, speak with some passion. Now, how to find that passion, how to discover what you're passionate about, those are some things that I talk about in my Break Into Speaking class, or you can get the CD. You can order the CD from me, you can Facebook, you can inbox me or what have you. But, and how to find that passion, we can help people with that, because I know there's some steps that you have to go through. But I just want you to know that you have to be passionate. The next thing you want to do, if you want to be a paid speaker, you have to speak about something that people are willing to pay for. You can't just say, well, I want to speak on the topic of how to be a better whatever, a better cook, a better accountant, a better salesperson. You have to speak on something that people are willing to pay to hear. See, there are some things that people want to hear, and they want to hear it desperately, but they're not willing to pay for it. Okay. Sometimes if you ever look at people and you offer them something that you think that they really should want it, right? And they say, oh, I can't afford that. Oh, I don't have the money for that. But yet they will go and spend $40 or more to get their nails done. And I mean, you know, with acrylic and all of these other things that could potentially even be poisonous to their system. You see? I'm just using that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. I'm just showing you that people pay for what they want. And, you know, one of the things that we learn in our business classes and in our sales classes is that, you know, if nothing else is more clear to us, it should be clear to us that people will pay for what they want. Same thing when it comes to getting. And I did it for years. Do you know the amount of money that I paid to have hair glued to my head? glue, the same glue that poisoned some woman and she died. Okay, this is what I'm talking about. People pay for what they want. So if you want to be a paid speaker, number one, be passionate. Find out what you're passionate about. Number two, find out what people pay to hear about. And you might say, well, this is the only thing I want to speak about. Well, that might be. And if people won't pay to hear that, guess what? You won't become a paid speaker. If no one, you know, let's face it, it's the same thing with a book. Same thing with a book. People say, oh, I wrote this book and it's not selling and I don't know why it's not selling. You know, I did such a great job in writing this book and I really wanted to sell a lot of copies. But did you write about something that people will pay to read about? That's the funny thing. But yet you get somebody who writes about all of these erotica stuff. Believe it or not, there are people who will pay to hear that. And believe it or not, there is somebody who will pay to hear probably what you have to say. But then the next thing is, if you want to become a paid speaker, is you have to find those people. And that's called marketing. You have to market yourself. And again, there's a lot that we could say about marketing. I can't say it all in this short radio show. But again, you can purchase that in our CD or you can attend our marketing seminar. We do one online, so it doesn't matter where you are. We do a webinar on how to market yourself and or your product. Now, another way to become a paid speaker, here's another way to become a profitable and paid speaker. It's something that I did, and I'm no doubt it's something that I'm telling you that you can do. Write a book. The moment I wrote a book, I instantly became a paid speaker. I was already speaking. I had been speaking since 1992 when I gave my first speech at Abraham Clark High School. I gave a speech on the importance of getting good grades in school and graduating. I was a student at Union County College at the time, and one of my professors, finally, that's why I love college so much, finally, I got to a place where people pick up on your gifts and tell you to run with them. Oh, I love college. I'm sorry. Nobody can ever make me negative about college. High school, I don't know. They do it in some schools. Some schools don't. Some teachers do. Some teachers don't. Some counselors will. Some counselors won't, let's face it. But in college, it's a different scenario. It's a different scenario than high school for most people. Now, for some people, maybe you went to a high school that was built on college principles. In other words, the teachers and the principals and the counselors and everyone associated with that high school operate from a college mentality. But one thing I can say, having dealt with so many colleges, as a college-bound director, as a college professor, and as a student since 1990, I've been going to school. I'm still in school. I'm now working toward a PhD. But I started my college journey in 1990, and I just kept going. So associate, bachelor's, master's, and now a PhD. I have a lot of years of experiences with dealing with colleges, and I've seen it in just about every college that I've been around. And college is where, you know, some parents, they let their children stop at high school. I'm cautioning you, don't do that. Push them on to college because that's where they might really, 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 really tap into their purpose, their gifts, their talents, their skills, and their abilities. But becoming an author will launch you into being a paid speaker. Now, if you are an author first and you are forced to become a speaker, now that's a whole different workshop. That's a whole different radio show. Okay, because a lot of authors don't always transition into a great speaker right away. It may take them a while. So they have to go through some steps, they have to build up some certain skills. But if you already have the skill of being a speaker, writing a book is not a problem. You know, some people have speaker fright. They don't even want to get in front of an audience. Some people have a lot of fear and nervousness when it comes to speaking, whether it's over the phone, a situation like this, a radio where people can't see you, there are people who are still very nervous. Just the thought of others hearing their words is very frightful for some people. But if you are already a speaker, a coach, a professor, or what have you, and you want to up your profits, write a book. Now, a person might say, well, what would I write about? What should I write my book about? Well, again, we can help you find some topics to write on. You come to our writing seminar and over at 1139 East Jersey Street, Suite 426 in Elizabeth, New Jersey. We can help you with that as well. So help you write a book, publish a book, speaking. Now, why do I love the speaking industry? Because I was made for it. I'm not jumping on a bandwagon that other people are on. It's what I was made to do. I told you my story. If you listen to the beginning of the show, you will hear how I was born to be a speaker. Now, you know, it's like a leader. Are you born or made? Either or. Even if you decide that, you know, I want to be a speaker one day, that's fine. Anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. However, to be a paid speaker, anybody can speak, no doubt. But to be a paid speaker, you have to be better than the average person. You have to be better than the average person. So if you want to make money speaking, you have to be better. Not only better than the average speaker, you have to be even better than the best speaker. As a matter of fact, you have to become another great speaker. There's not just one great speaker. There's not just 20 great speakers. There's thousands, if not millions, of great speakers. And if you want to get paid, you have to be one of those million. That's all. It's not that hard to do, because in order to get paid, you're going to have to do those other four things that I named already. You're going to have to market yourself. You're going to have to tap into your passion. You're going to have to find out what it is that you need to be speaking on. And then, of course, you got to tap into that market. But another way is by writing a book can get you paid. In other words, let's just say I spoke the other day last month, I spoke at a high school. Now, normally, to bring someone in to speak, they, you know, wouldn't have paid. But because I had the books, they bought so many copies of the book. You see? So instantly, when you have the book, you can put yourself in a paid speaking arena. So I'm telling you, you need to write the book. And so, again, even doing workshops, as you know, as a college professor, when I go into the classroom, every semester I might have 20 students. That's 20 people now that can purchase my book. And so while that student didn't pay, they did pay. They paid tuition to the college for me to be there speaking. And the college pays me to get up and present in a lecture format. And so that's the other thing you want to do for a profitable speaker. Be able to speak in different genres. Be able to get up and give a lecture in a college classroom. Be able to go into a work setting and do a training such as I will do tonight. Tonight I will speak in a work environment to a set of staff. Now, I did that for 3 years, yes, on my last job. But here I'm no longer at that job, so now I'm doing it on my own. So I'm going into a company. And I'll speak to their staff. I'm also going to go into an organization where there's a group of women that will meet. And these women are women who, you know, want to empower themselves, want to improve their lives. I'm going to go there and I'm going to speak to those women. And whatever they purchase, whether they purchase a CD, whether they purchase a book. But these are ways that you could become a profitable. So I'm glad you tuned into the show today and heard my talk on how to become a profitable speaker, how to make a profit from your speaking. So until Monday, have a great, great week. I don't know how we'll do the show on Monday. It will probably just be a call-in, and you'll be able to call in and listen, or you'll be able to listen from the computer. We will be on our way to New Jersey, to the New Jersey Small Business Women's Conference. It's Small Business Week, all week, down in Trenton, New Jersey. So I will be calling in from the show, calling in to the show from down there, or either on the road. We're very excited about going to that event to see who we can network with. Well, you have a great weekend, whatever you have planned. I hope it's something great and wonderful. If you're in the Hillside area, you know, do stop by Runway Fever, the shoe store in Hillside on Liberty Avenue, right across from the little post office mall right there, across from the Blimpies on Liberty Avenue tonight, probably somewhere around 8 o'clock p.m. They have a little get-together for women. Come out. They got some awesome, awesome shoes. So hope to see you there. Take care. I'll be there. I look forward to meeting you.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge, share the love, share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great, it's been real, it's been awesome, and you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.